verse 52. We're going to start a new series today called Righteousness in Relationships. Righteousness in Relationships. So we're going to be talking about relationships in general, God-ordained or supernatural relationships. We're going to be talking about marriage and family relationships. And so we're going to be going through a lot of relationship teaching here in this new series. Everybody say righteousness, in relationships. And so today's subject is the power of relationships. The power of relationships. The power of relationships. So that's our subject today. In verse 40 of chapter 2 of St. Luke, of the Gospel of Luke, it says, talking about Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Everybody say, the grace of God, was upon him. Let's talk about Jesus. So how many of you know it's important for your child to grow like Jesus grew? It's important for us to grow like Jesus grows. Now, how did Jesus grow? He grew spiritually. He acted strong in spirit. So you want to make sure your spirit's strong. And then, of course, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, you can see, skip down to verse 52, and it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. Everybody say, Jesus increase. So Jesus went from growing to increase. See, growing is gradual, but increase is advancing. So he went from gradual growth to advanced growing. How many of you know that's good to do that as well? We have Jesus on the inside of us. He can help us do this. And he said he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So we see two major components of Jesus' growth. He grew spiritually, but he also grew relationally. So we could say it this way, which is kind of our focus for the children's ministry and youth ministry. He grew in wisdom, faith, and friendships or relationships. Spiritual growth, wisdom and faith. Relational growth, favor with God and man. And so we see relationships are not a side item, but they are part of the main item of our growth process. We are not just to grow spiritually, we are to grow relationally. Everybody say relationships matter. Relationships, as we've said, in life is not optional. It's obligatory for maximum results. It's possible to get some results without relating, but it's better to get results when one does. Now, if you're taking notes, write this question down or these thoughts down. Why are relationships important to success? Why are relationships important to success? Relationships are the glue that holds team members or family members together. Now, I want you to think family in sense of your natural family, but also spiritual family. And, of course, teams within that family. And, of course, at work as well, work relationships and all those kinds of things. And so to have a solid relationship, these are some relationship 101 points. You need to have five things fruitful and evident in those relationships. Number one is respect. We'll talk about some of these at another time. Just write the numbers down. Number two, shared experiences. Number three, trust. Trust is essential to all good relationships. Trust is to develop. Without trust, you can't sustain any kind of relationship. Number four, reciprocity. It must not be one-sided, because that relationship won't last. One-sided relationships won't last, where one person is doing all the giving and sacrifice and trust and extending all the energy and effort. It has to be a reciprocity. Amen? Amen. And then number five, mutual enjoyment. Mutual enjoyment. And let's start off with some of these other fundamentals. Why people fail to understand others? Because why do I need to know about other people? Well, you know, you've heard the adage, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So what causes people to fail to understand other people? Well, one of the elements, the big enemies of relational, this relationship growth area is the enemy of fear. Fear. Write that down. You can write that down if you want. Number two is self-centeredness. Again, we'll kind of dive into some of these things. Self-centeredness. Number three, failure to appreciate differences. Because in the body of Christ, in the economy of God, its diversity is to be celebrated, not called out and criticized. So we are to experience unity through diversity in community, in unity and in community with one another. Hallelujah. We celebrate differences, not call out and criticize differences. Amen. And then there's a failure to acknowledge similarities. Too often we judge ourselves by our good intentions, but we judge each other's by their actions. Now, John Maxwell gives us a short course on human relationships. I'm going to give you this brief short course. There's six elements to this short course, Relationship 101, six elements. Number one, the least important word in human relationships is I, because too often people have an eye problem, not the ocular seeing vessel, the cornea and the retina and the lens and all that stuff in your eyeball. No, an eye problem with that one word. I, and you begin to promote big I and put down little you. Putting other people down with a little you. That's the least important word is I. The most important word is we. The two most important words are thank you. Number four, the three most important words is all is forgiven. That means you believe the best of every person. That's what love does. Love believes the best of every person. Hopes are faithless under all circumstances, endures everything without weakening. The four most important words is, what is your opinion? That means you're saying, your opinion matters to me. Thank you, Brother Steve. The five most important words is, you did a good job. This is a short course on human relations. Number seven, the six most important words, I want to understand you better. Somebody say, glory to God. Do you know one of the reasons why the work of creation was so outstanding? It's because God the Father worked together with the Son and the Holy Spirit. He did not do it alone. Everybody say, he did not do it alone. Now, God's big enough, tough enough, bad enough, strong enough, smart enough, wise enough to do it all by himself. But he didn't do it alone. God is a relational God. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Genesis 1:26, he says what? And God said, let us make man. Let who? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. God made man in his own image and his likeness. Man, therefore, is God-like. So if God's relational and he taught and had a good, has it still has, a good relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, we are relational beings. We see Jesus outlined in the book of Luke as growing not just spiritually, but also relationally. Amen? But why did God make somebody like himself? After all, he's God. He doesn't need anyone. He can do all things by himself. God needed companionship, someone to relate with him for service and to serve his wonderful, infinite purposes in the earth. Man was to serve as a connecting rod between God and earth, God's earth and heaven, where he dwells. In his omnipotence, he needed to relate to man and with man. Amen. God provides all man needs. Man draws inspiration from God to enhance and embellish the rest of his creation. God's joy in his creation was great, but he loved to communicate and reason with him. Of course, the greatest relationship anyone can have is one relationship with God. And so we'll talk about the three dimensions of relationship. You need to be able to relate up to God spiritually, but you need to be related across to each other too. Amen. Our relationship with fellow man is very needful for activation of one goal in life. Relationships are vital to man's ultimate achievement in life. I'll say it again. Relationships are vital to man's ultimate achievement in life. And we find in the second chapter of the Bible, Genesis 2:18, he told Adam, he made all the animals and they had all their pairs up, and he looked at Adam and said, he said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. If he told Adam that, he's telling us that. Amen? This is not a Lone Ranger deal. Now listen to the powerful verse in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 12. Two people, I'm reading out of New Living Translations, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who fails alone is in real trouble. Someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Contact and interaction between people is relationship. To relate means to touch, to contact, to be involved one with another. Relationships are crucial, vital, and very needful in realizing your goals and objectives in life. I think one of the motivational speakers once said, he said, you won't be successful, help enough people be successful and you'll become a success. You got to connect with other people. Amen? One must needs to be very selective in relationship one contracts. A wrong relationship can be devastating, heartbreaking, dream killing, vision destroying. Adam's relationship with Lot marred his vision. He was his nephew. And for all the time he was with his nephew, he couldn't see what God wanted him to see. He couldn't walk in the inheritance God had for him because he had the wrong company around him. Are you listening to me? Genesis 13, 14, 15 says, New Living Translation, after Lot had gone, everybody said, you got to get rid of your lots. The Lord said to Abraham, look as far as you can and see in every direction. Now, how come you didn't tell him that when Lot was around? He had to wait till Lot left. He got rid of Lot. He said, as far as see in every direction, north, south, and east, and west, I'm giving you all this land as far as you can see and to your descendants as permanent possession. Friends, a wrong relationship is detrimental to progress and success in life. A wrong relationship is detrimental to progress and success in life. It can break you all together, your gift, your expertise, and your divine grace notwithstanding. We know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, listen to this, New Living Translation, do not be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. In Psalms 1, the scripture clearly defines the responsibilities of a man who desires to be blessed. Listen to Psalms 1, 1 through 3, New Living Translation. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves neither wither, and they prosper in all they do. Now, we can conclude from these powerful verses that a man who keeps good company will never run dry. One. Number two, will never wither. Two. And three, he will be constantly refreshed and fulfilled. Someone once said, you are who you hang around. You're the average of the five closest people that you hang around. You make, income-wise, the average of five people you close associate with. Amen. So if you want sorrow-free, struggle-free, progress-free, struggle-free progress, excuse me, then seek to be blessed by God by being highly selective of the company you keep. See, the choice of your company is your responsibility. No relationship can take place without the agreement between the two parties involved. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you agree to get in that car, if you agree to have lunch and hang out with them, if you agree to socialize and connect with them, that's your choice. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Right relationships are supposed to result in progress. Oh, you might want to write that down. Right relationships are supposed to result in progress. This is the acid test of a right choice. Am I progressing or am I digressing? It depends on if I'm hanging around or am I connected to the wrong people. None of the parties involved in wrong relationship profit in any way. Negative influences have a greater power of pulling people down. Negative influences darken great futures. Proverbs 13:20 says, New Living Translation, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. What happens when I associate with fools? I get in trouble. Those closest to you, friends, will determine your outcome in life. In other words, the single most factor defining your future is the relationships you embrace. If you just look at the relationships you embrace, you determine, where am I going? Your life is built by relationships. You will receive both the consequences and the rewards of those closest to you. Relations are like buttons on the elevator or escalator, however you want to say it. Some take you up, some get you stuck, but most will take you down. Whether you realize it or not, every relationship you have is taking you somewhere. You can say, hey, man, where are you taking me? I'm taking to get you stuck. They're not going to tell you that, but, you know, that's, you can see if you have wisdom in relationship, grace for relationship, you'll be able to discern. Are they going to take me up or take me down or get me stuck? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right. See, investing, this is what we want to really get you motivated about. Investing in God-ordained supernatural power of relationships may seem as unnecessary baggage. Why do I got to connect and get involved with people? I got to talk about this emotional, gooey people stuff. No, because every one of us are looking for it, whether we want to believe it or not. You're looking to connect with somebody. You and I are just like cell phones. Once you cut them on, they open up and that searching comes. What are you searching for? A connection. What happened when you got out of your mama's womb at their day of birth and they spanked your bottom and you start, From day zero, you start doing what? Searching for a connection. You're wired for it. Amen? Amen. And let's follow Jesus' example and have grace to grow relationally. Amen? Glory to God. The mentality, see, investing in these relationships, the power of relationships, may seem as unnecessary value, a detriment and a hindrance to forward progress, but nothing can be further from the truth. You got to get involved with people. God has people along your pathway of progress. See, the mentality of the independent is dangerous. It will lead you down a path of destruction. That Proverbs 18:1 says it. Listen to this, New King James Version. A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, and rages against all wise judgment. You've heard me say this before. To isolate yourself is to celebrate selfishness. And to celebrate selfishness is to eliminate God from the equation of your life. Isolation provides a false sense of security. It creates an atmosphere of relational irresponsibility. Humanity was never built for independence, but rather for interdependence. Amen. We must realize that our highest potential is only when we take the risks to believe in one another, to care and connect to one another, spiritually as well as socially, to become transparent, and to celebrate the right people in our lives. Amen. Now, God gave us this gift of righteousness. We see it in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, New Living Translation I'm reading out of. For the sin of one man, Adam, caused a death to rule over many. Now, part of the death process, we talked about the law of sin and death last week, but the death process is to sever man's relationship with God. It's called spiritual death. That's relationship. We get kicked out of God's family when Adam fell. We got kicked out of God's family, and we were in the family of Satan. We had an improper, immoral, illegal relationship. Are you listening to me? This is how deep this thing is. And he said, by one man's sin, death came by everybody. That's why sin breaks fellowship. It's hard to fellowship when you're in sin. Amen. He said, causes death to rule over many, but even rather God's wonderful grace and the gift of righteousness. Everybody say, gift of righteousness. For all who receive, it will live and triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now let's step back and look at the fact that part of God's original design for you and I had a major problem, you know, with this Adam falling, so to speak. And there was a gap between us and God. It's called holiness. God's a holy God, isn't he? But at the time when Adam fell, we weren't. We all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. And so this is why the primary message of the Christian faith is not one of redemption and is one of redemption and restoration of what? The relationship. The term redemption means to regain possession of something in exchange for payment and clearing of a debt. Any story that involves that, a message of redemption also implies that something terrible has occurred, making the redemption necessary in the first place. You don't search for things that are found, right? We were lost in our sin. You don't buy back something that was never lost. You can't save something that isn't in danger of great injury or death. That's why the Christian gospel is telling the good news of Jesus Christ by first discussing the tragic story that required his coming to the earth. We needed a savior. Amen. And this is what's called good. Now, so sin, I'll say this, is not just a religious intervention of a philosophical idea. It's a moral disease that constantly worked to corrupt the hearts and affect our world. The problem is evil is so great and its corrupting influence has so thoroughly saturated our world that God went to the ultimate lengths and paid the highest possible price to remove it through the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The Christian faith is a story of what happened to our world and to us and what God has done to reverse the progress of evil and restore us and to make us restore us unto himself. This is the story of redemption. And so we're the crowning achievement of his creation. Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says this, New Living Translation. What are mere mortals that you should think about them, and human beings that you should care for them? You have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you've made, putting all things under your authority. There is a spiritual law that is evident throughout the Bible, and it's an important key to understand the purpose of anything existence. It's called the law of original design. We were designed to be with God, to be connected to God. Amen? To have fellowship with God. And this gift of righteousness gives us this right relationship with God. Amen? We find that the first chapter of Genesis, we find that God carefully prepared the earth for living things. The story builds as a climax. It describes the activities of God in the succession of 6 days. The crowning achievement of his creation was reserved for the final day. Think if God would have created us on the third day when there was water all around. We'd have had tread water for 3 days. Just think if he created us when he created the land and the mountain and the trees and all that. We'd have had to stand around and watch all the trees and mountain coming around. God set everything up, and then he put us in there. And we find in the beginning, God walked in the cool of the day and talked to Adam. He had fellowship and relationship with Adam. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? And so he made this creation. So, and then as we are recreated in Christ, we see there's wonderful things that reoccur with this gift of righteousness. Now, these are 7 gifts that separate mankind from the rest of creation, because God didn't create us as an animal, as a fish, as a bird. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So write these 7 things down if you want to take notes. There are 7 important characteristics that separate man from every other being or thing that he has created, because he said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness. Make them godlike. In our human form, God has left us an imprint on himself. Number 1 is the gift of image bearing. The final act of God's physical creation was the formation of man and woman. Humans are the crowning achievement of God. Scripture tells us that God made man's body of the dust of the earth and breathed a spirit into the body that he had formed. This means that man is both physical and a spiritual creature. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a body. Amen. Number 2, the gift of speech. We alone are among God's creatures have been given the power of creative speech. Here's another mark of image bearing. God's angels are only permitted to speak as he's commanded. Animals communicate through various means of sight, sound, and instinct. Only human race has been given the capacity to express ideas, dreams, prayers in the form of intelligent words. Number 3, the gift of marriage. God, like we said, is a relational being. When God initially formed man, Adam, he was a single being. Then God divided man into 2 equals but distinct genders, calling them together for the purpose of relationship. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And we know the first marriage is in his order of creation. Of Genesis chapter 2. in the first human relationship between two beings of different genders is called marriage. So we're going to be talking about that. And it's the foundation of the family and the bedrock of human society. In marriage, in the marriage relationship, we discover a complete reflection of the image of our Creator. God is therefore a being who encompasses the total strengths of each gender, masculine and feminine. This is why marriage is a sacred union. It demonstrates the total image of God in a way that no other relationship can. In marriage, we also discover the wonderful gift and creative energy of sexual union. Our sexual cells were designed by God for unique pleasure only within the human marriage relationship. And I know there's a lot of tack about that now, but we'll get into that later. This is why there's such an effort made by God's enemies, Satan, to destroy, diminish, distort, and redefine the covenant of marriage. Because no other relationship demonstrates God's love for us like the relationship of a covenant marriage. God delights in marriage. That's a great place to say amen. Amen. I'll say it again. God delights in marriage. In Malachi 2:11, it is called the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. What does he love? He loves marriage. He said in the Bible, he hates divorce, but he loves marriage. Scripture teaches us that all believers to have a high and honorable view of marriage as a uniquely demonstrates the image of God in his relationship with his people. Ephesians 5:31-32, give Hebrews 13:4a, New Living Translation, give honor to marriage. Give honor to what? Marriage. And to remain faithful to one another in marriage. Remain faithful to one another in what? Marriage. That means the marriage bed is the only bed you... Well, let me keep going. All right, number four, the gift of dominion. Number four, the gift of dominion. So God made humans both rulers and caretakers over everything he created. This dominion means that we have both been given both authority over the earth and its creatures, as well as the responsibility to care for it. Every precious gift that the earth is a precious gift that every Christian is to enjoy and preserve. We're not killing dogs and killing animals unlawfully. That's not our job. We care for them. We care for the creatures. We demonstrate our love for God and appreciation for the work of his hands. But we subdue it. Amen. While humans have the responsibility to care for God's creation, we must remember that we are unique in creation. Nature is not our mother. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Amen? Because man is much more than a glorified animal. Everybody say, I'm much more than a glorified animal. Amen. Number five, the gift of work and rest. From the opening of the Bible, we learn the very important thing about God. He's a being devoted to work and productivity. The Bible describes the Lord's work as taking place over a period of 6 days. This was followed by a seventh day in which he ceased from all his work. He rested and reflected. Amen. Naturally, God did not rest because he was tired. God doesn't get tired or weary. But he's given us a pattern. Amen. His power is inexhaustible. Whether he was setting a pattern for us, human life and productivity, he made man, he gave them special command to subdue, work, and maintain the earth. Genesis 1:26, Genesis 2:15. No other creature has the capacity or calling to cultivate, build, and manage the earth. Human labor is not a curse or a burdensome necessity that is to be avoided. We're not supposed to be lazy. Can I have an amen with that? When humans work, they are cultivating the potential God placed on into the earth as fulfilling their creative purpose to develop that hidden potential. We'll talk about that, more about that later on. The gift of righteousness. Everybody say the gift of righteousness. See, this most wonderful and significant characteristic of the human race is that we're the only beings in the universe that's specifically designed to have an intelligent, intimate, and personal relationship with God. Intelligent, intimate, and personal relationship with God. He designed us for relationship with himself. Genesis 3:8, as we referred to before, Adam walked with God every day until he fell, of course. No other animal or plant shared this unique privilege of being called to walk with God in fellowship. Adam and Eve enjoyed, at the time, perfect righteousness. Righteousness may be defined as the right to stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, or judgment. Righteousness, simply put, is right standing with God, to have a right relationship with God. Amen? So without complete righteousness, it would be impossible for the first humans to know God, much less have an intimate relationship with him, where he walks with you and talks with you. As a matter of fact, we have more of an intimate relationship than any of the Old Testament saints, because he not only is with us, he's in us. Isn't that good?
Yes, amen.
And then number 7, and we won't talk too much about this, but the dangerous gift of free will. In other words, he gave man and humanity the distinct and free capacity to think, reason, and choose. You get to choose what kind of relationship you're going to have with God. You get to choose if you're going to love, care, and connect with your brothers and sisters. It's your choice. Amen.
Amen.
So where are you now? So, Brother Steve, if you can help me turn that over. As we get ready to take communion, where are you now in your relationship with God and in your relationship with others? Because there's power in the other. Some people say this, let me just talk real plain to you. Some people say, I'm getting along with God, when they can't get along with people. You can't say I'm getting along well with God and I can't get along with other people. And we shared this before. You're wired for love. You're connected for, you're created to, for connection, healthy, righteous relationships.
Amen.
Amen? The question is, as we take the table today, where are you? In other words, how is your connectedness? The need for connection begins before infancy and continues throughout life, from womb to tomb. From the womb to the tomb, everybody in this room, bar none, and everybody outside of this room, has that wiring for connection. I flew a plane. I was out on the plane Thursday and Friday, coming from Albuquerque, hopped through Dallas, and getting on and off the plane. You know, it gets routine. But, you know, they tell you cut your phone off, you know, put it on airplane mode now. So they're kind of letting you use to keep your phone on. But if you're preserving your battery, you cut your phone off, which I usually do. And so you cut your phone off. And the first thing that happens when land, everybody's phone, you can hear it, almost hear everybody pushing their phone. And then sure enough, up in that upper left-hand corner, or wherever it's at on your phone, it's got that searching. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And it's searching for what? Everybody say a connection. And what I'm going to share with you And I want us to take communion around this if you're in any other place but this place, number four. You're getting along well with God, and you've got good connections with others. Because even in offerings, Jesus said, if you've got something against somebody and you got a gift to bring to the altar, he said, leave your gift. Leave your gift at the altar and do what? Go and reconcile with your brother. God makes this a big deal, friends. Are you listening to me? So if you're alive, you need it. You need to be connected and in healthy, supernatural relationships to thrive and grow, and just put a period at it, period. To thrive and grow, you need to be connected. They said when babies aren't held and hugged and loved from their infancy days in their through their little formative years of one and a half to 3 years old, they what they have called a failure to thrive syndrome. Because there's an absence of love, but also the absence of connection. See, we're fueled from the outside from connection with others. Everybody in this room needs relational energy and relational input from good relational input from other people. Amen. Whether it's your smartphone or human, when the system cannot make a connection, it begins to run down. Amen. And this is an indisputable reality. Humans need connection. This way your systems are wired for all of us. We're searching for it. Amen. And so let me go through these connections and ask you this question, where are you? And so let's just say, you know, like I shared with you in the getting off the plane, you know, usually it says no connection yet because it's still searching. Well, that's bad, right? And so if you're in corner one, you need to make a connection first with God. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. And so corner one is a bad spot. There is absolutely no connection. And let me give you some questions that a Christian, born-again Christian psychologist gave to some people in leadership. Because even though they had great responsibilities and great situations, they had poor relationships. So you can make a lot of money, but still have poor relationships. You can be involved in a lot of things and do a lot of things, but you can have poor relationships. So let's see if this connects with you as I'm kind of reading these questions from this born again, spirit-filled psychologist. All right. Question one. This is no connection corner. Do you have some place where you can be 100% honest and vulnerable as to what you are going through in your current role, your leadership, where you can be totally honest about your struggles, conflicts, needs, weaknesses, or etc.? Now, they surveyed hundreds of leaders, executives, and 80% of them said that, no, I don't have a place like that. I don't have a place like that. And you got to ask yourself, do you have a place where you can be honest and vulnerable, where you can open up, talk about your struggles, conflicts, needs, weaknesses, where you can have that sharing, open and honesty? That was part of what Adam and Eve lost when they fall, because when they were married, they were naked and open and unashamed. Amen. That means had the ability to be open and honest. That means you don't have a connection. Question two was, do you have anyone or any group of people who is totally committed to your growth or well-being as a person or as a leader? So who's committed to you as a person or as a leader? That very role of that relationship is just to develop and help you. 80% of them said, no, I don't have a place like that. Now, here's the kicker question. Have you ever experienced anything in the last year, or would you say has gotten to clinical proportions? Now, clinical proportions, he's using psychology terminology. He said burnout. How many know you're not supposed to be burnt out as a believer? Loss of energy. Amen. Y'all know what that means, right? We just come dragging in. Amen. No energy for serving God, no energy for doing things for God or anybody else. Difficulty getting motivated. Concentration or focus problems. Anxiety or stress. Depression and an addiction or other habit. Sleeping problems. You have problems sleeping. And you know, 80% of the people surveyed, these executives, very high-powered leaders, said yes. In the last year, I would say I've had one or more incidents that reach clinical proportions. How many of you know when you burn out, you're in bad shape? You're supposed to get energy from your friends, faith friends. Amen? I'm not talking about social media now. That's a whole nother platform, but I'm talking about actual people involved in your life. Loss of energy, difficulty getting motivated. You can't concentrate or focus. Amen. And so we need to understand that this no connection is not good at all. And you've heard me say this, and you can believe God because there is grace for relationships. Everybody needs four crazy faith friends. Mark Hanks, you always tell us that. You need four crazy faith friends. What do these crazy faith friends do? They're supposed to be able to, they're into you and to into what God has for you to do. They're not just into the shoes or the clothes or the toys you like. There are some commonalities, but they could be very different. Are you listening to me? This is where we friends not just exist on a social level, but also on a spiritual level. Because when we fellowship with one another and fellowship with God, you know, you fellowship with God around the word, the worship, the work that we have to do together, that's spiritual fellowship. That's fellowship of the Spirit on a spiritual level. Amen? It's fellowship around the word. That means we talk about what the Lord's doing, what the Lord has done, what the Lord's going to do through in and through his word. We're standing on the word. We're talking about the word. We're pumping each other up through the word. We're worshiping together. Spiritual fellowship is our gathering together to worship together. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship in spirit and in truth. And then there's the work of the family of God here at the church. We work together. We strive together for the faith of the gospel. Come on now. We're in the trenches together. We fight together. We stand together. We serve together. That's spiritual fellowship. Are you listening to me? And so that's what we get involved in. But and we need connections. This is how people stay out of church or drift out of church or drift out away from God real easily, because they have no connection. Then you go over here and you might be in a bad spot. Sometimes we get there in life. Now use the analogy of the cell phone again. in life, we might get to a bad spot where we have a bad connection. I have a bad reception. I can't hear you. Well, it's hard to hear when you have a bad connection, right? Phone call drops. Boop. What happens to you when you have bad connections? You drop. Thank you, Brother Steve. You're tracking with me. Hallelujah. Because see, this is not necessarily a bad or abusive person. Although it may be someone who's bad or abusive. You might have somebody that you're connected with that's very bad and abusive. Hopefully that's not the case. But this connection number two is a connection or preoccupation to pull toward a person who has the effect of making you feel bad or not good enough in some way. Inferior, defective perhaps. There's something wrong with me when I'm around this person. They always make me feel less than who I am in Christ. Somehow, some way, this person has the power in your life to make you feel bad. What happens then? Your energy, your well-being, your focus, even your leadership, if you're in that capacity, your passion gets diverted and diminished. You start playing defense. And I like what Brother Steve said one time. There's a problem. You can't play prevent defense and win. You're trying to catch up. You try to get back to even. To a place where other people will make you feel good again, feel good about yourself. So you go to run to vices and things of that nature. Amen? I work with people in a sense this way. I had to deal with a situation just this last week. And it's kind of funny, but hopefully she won't hear this. But she got in the car, and this is a person who's a low performer over restaurants and stuff. And so I have to carry the soft blow because, you know, human resources, I have to deal with the people issues and stuff. And so I knew they wanted to talk about it because it was in my heart. And as soon as got off the plane, got situated, and it's like, where are we at? And start coming out. And I just kind of blurbed out because I was studying for the message. I said, "You stuck in corner two." I said, "What? What is corner two?" Because her relationship with the boss was very tenuous. Every conversation, every dialogue was always devastating to her. It was always, she was left broken and down. These bad connections do that to you. They leave you broken and down, and it's like every time I have an encounter, I feel like I'm not going good enough. Everything I do is wrong. I can do nothing to please them or make them happy. And then people spiral. I know it in the corporate world. They always spiraling around trying to do anything and everything to make others feel good about them or to please other people. Are y'all here with me? Now, if you're in a bad connection, what do you do at that table? When you take the elements, you got to judge yourself. You got to say, "Look, Lord, I can't live and get stuck in corner two. I don't care if it's my marriage. I don't care if it's in my extended family. I don't care if it's my my work situation. Jesus didn't die on the cross and go through his horrible tragedy, get cut off from God for you to be cut off and have unenjoyable situations with other people." Amen. Then there's the third one, because people run to corner three because they've this negative self-evaluation and they lost their mojo, so to speak. And they feel like, man, I can't do nothing to make my boss happy. I feel like I'm going to get my head cut off any day, that I'm waiting for the axe to fall. Bad connection. It's not supposed to be that way. In your marriage, in your family, and in the church. Are you listening to me? And you have the grace to extend it to your job. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because Jesus had favor with who? God and man. Amen. All right. So, corner three. This pseudo or fake good connection. Now, let's face it. No one wants to feel alone, isolated, or inadequate. Those are all pretty unpleasant feelings, right? So you say, enough of this. I want to feel good. So what do most people do? Unfortunately, some people go to places and things and activities and habits that make them feel good. And they feel real good. Unfortunately, the enemy of our soul gets involved in it. And it's a fake good instead of a real good. Amen. So we try to get these feelings of good, and they take on a variety of forms, like addiction, an affair, an addiction. Now, they have an addiction all the way from alcohol, drug, and now video gaming. Right? And now they got social media as an addiction. Because some people get stuck on Facebook because that's their escape. That's their fake good. They play games all day because that's their fake good connection. People look at pornography because that's their fake good. That's their escape hatch. People become shopaholics because that's their outlet to make them feel good. Is this real or not? And I know a story, a lady who boss, every time he yelled at her, she took a two-hour break, and she went to the mall. She showed a closet with all this shopping stuff. But after 2 hours, she felt good. And this is a way to feel good. And why do people go to porn? Why do people play games all day? God didn't create you to play games all day. Why do people on Facebook all the time and posting their stealth selfies up there? Why? They're trying to feel good about themselves. Are you listening to me? I'm not saying, a little bit of social media is not bad. We're on social media. We're connected. But don't be hanging out there forever. Are you listening to me? And it's interesting because as I was studying, the Lord was talking to me. He said, look around. I'm looking on the airplane. I was looking at the different places in the airport. Everybody's on their phone. I said, nobody's hardly talking. Are you listening to me? Some people form a feel good is their achievement, awards, and positive results, next acquisition, next product launch, next accolades of achievement, and they get addicted to this performance drug called results. It's a fake good. Well, we put the thing over the, we put the what over the who. Are you listening to me? All right, let's hurry up and close here. Glory to God. And so these things tend to medicate us against reality. Now, the Holy Spirit arrested me now. He said, we have to stop trying to self-medicate against reality. You aren't wired to be up in a corner by yourself doing what you feel like doing because it makes you feel good. We have favor with God and with people, and our first assignment is to love God. That with that gives us the capacity to love God, but also to love people. And it starts with the household of faith, the family of God, the believers in Christ, cultivating relational growth by having faith friends and good connections with people above us, people around us, and people that we are to pour our life into. Everybody say good connections. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't want substance, awards, accolades, approval of yes men and sexual acting out and indulgences and hobbies and materialism because they all have the power to make us feel good. But we want the power of God and the grace of God. Everybody say, go to corner four. You need to go to corner four. That means you got people that you can be transparent to, the people that you actually have a good connection with. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. Jesus didn't just die for you to get things and stuff. He died for people. His body, it consists of people. People matter. Relationships matter. Come on now. Hallelujah. And as I'm closing, you can move this, Bestie. As I'm closing, I want you to think about this. He said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What was the cause? One cause he gave. He said, they're not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body is not his upper and lower torso and his legs. His body is his people. People are a part of the body of Christ. So, with that concluding question, where are you? Bad connection? Well, first of all, you want to be connected with God. Now, we always said sin breaks fellowship, not necessarily a relationship. You could be born again, but you could be out of fellowship with God because of sin. And if you understand the priority of God, he's real big on spiritual sin, meaning your relationship with him, and social sin, strife, division, envy, variance, discord. He's real big on those things. He even said the standard is that there be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care one for another. You can't connect until you care, and you can't communicate until you connect, and you can't have a relationship until you connect. Are you listening to me? Amen. Some people aren't connected as much. I'm not saying anybody, you know, specifically, but in general terms, connected as much to God. You need to get clear with God and get connected with God, where God, you and God can talk about anything and everything in a healthy, productive way. Your relationship with God is tight. But then out of that relationship with God is your relationship with other people. If you hung up or strung up or struggling with people around you, then there's a problem with you and God. Are you listening to me? He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. What? To obtain mercy. Find grace to help in time of need. Amen. We ought to be very transparent with one another, open and honest, and have a relationship that people say, man, my goodness, look at those folks over here at Triumphant Word Christian Center. By this shall all men know that you might have, if you have love one another, not love in name only, not love in word only, but love in deed and in truth and in sincerity. Somebody say, glory to God. Stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all get something out of that today? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you.